You are listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, reaching hearts, transforming communities. To find out more about us, go to our website, www.clch.cc.
Today, what am I going to share with you? It's a bit of a sort of, a bit strange. I'm not really into sort of hashtags or anything, but today this is the hashtag. One thing I do know about hashtags is they put everything together and then you have to put in and make the words out of it that suits you. So what do you interpret this as? God is now here. Or maybe you look at it and you say God is nowhere. Just where you put the pause. It's where you change the letters around. It's the way that you look at it. Nothing, none of the letters have changed. They're just in different places. But you know one thing, whatever way you look at the end of that hashtag, God is. Whatever you might personally believe, God is. That doesn't change, regardless of what we believe or other people believe, or even if we're not sure, because God is. And the first thing is, even if you think God is nowhere, the Bible, God's inspired word, His written word tells us God was at the beginning. And in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning. Wow. Who was that? How was that? And there's a whole dispute about that. What was creation from? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Do you know what? I cannot even contemplate that we were here by an accident. It's like, wow, how can we be just an accident, just a burst? That image of God, God's Spirit hovering over the waters, it's just like, wow. And what's even more amazing is God's Spirit here now, hovering over his people, and it's like, goodness gracious me, God, that blows my mind that God can do that. But as we sang earlier, there is no equal. There is no rival. There is no opposite to God, because God is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the author and perfecter of life. Just end it there now, really. Oh, God, you are amazing. And then at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, verse 13, it says, God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He covers everything, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Wow. And I'm just one little point in that. But God is still concerned about each and every individual, the whole thing and the personal. It's just like, I can't understand it. I don't have to understand it. I just know that God's love transforms lives. It transforms hearts. God said to Moses, I am. And Moses said, who shall I tell the Israelites who you are, who's sending us? He just said, I am. He's got no illusions. He doesn't have to impress anybody. I think sometimes we feel we have to sell God. I know I do sometimes, and I have, but it's like, God, you sell yourself. And I pray that if any of you are here today that really aren't too sure, I don't need to. God is just amazing. He exists outside of our time, beyond all our understanding and our experience. And even recently, the Hubble Space Telescope has found galaxies, beyond galaxies. And I was looking at them yesterday and it was like, God, how can that be an accident? How can that blows my mind? I believe God created it all. He is so vast, so immense, so powerful. It's God that created the universe. He is infinite. And when you see the photographs of galaxies beyond galaxies, it's like God goes beyond even that. Wow, he's immense. He can be in all places at all times, past, present, and future. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's happening. Amen. So question is, how did you read that hashtag? Did you read it as God is now here? Or did you read it as God is nowhere? And even the way you say it, even the way I think it and I say it, it's like God is now here or God is nowhere. It's like even the inclination of your voice to some extent, it frames your mood. It frames who you are and what you think. I know God is now here. With the outbreak of COVID pandemic, more than ever, these two viewpoints are polarizing people. There are those people that say, if there's a God, why has he sent COVID? I don't believe he has. None of the plagues in the Bible, in the Old Testament, were sent other than to sort of convict sinners. And it's just affecting the whole of mankind. I don't believe God sent it. I believe that the way that man manipulates various things, I think that has a lot to do with it. It's a whole other discussion that could be held. But I know one thing's for sure, God is using it and God is in it. So I have. Are we doing all right with sound? So I have peace that I know God here and in the future will bring us through. It's a natural disaster. Is this sounding okay or shall I just change? Okay.
I did some research yesterday, and I'm not going to put loads of facts and figures on, but the number of people who have clicked online to various sermons, podcasts, asking questions. I think I'm still attached. Strictly, isn't it? Last week, apparently, Mike's got in the way. We've got anything stuck on it. So the number of people that are turning to God, turning to churches, because of the uncertainty, because of the anxiety, because of the stress, because of the unknown, and the numbers are just amazing. And I was reading of a Jewish guy, and he was in America. His dad had it. His uncles had it. They were in hospital. And he went and prayed. And his daughter came in and she said, this isn't your normal prayer time. This isn't the way you normally act. And he just said, I need to talk to God. That already came up this morning. I need to talk to God. I don't need to go through all the religious or the sort of acts, the expectations, the duty. I need to talk to God. And I just read that and it was just like, wow. So many people like that. And the great thing is God's ready to hear. God's ready to listen and he's there to comfort us. The peace in the midst of our fear. I think as it's already been mentioned this time of year, leading up to Christmas, we refer to the good old Christmas story, something that we've learnt at school, Sunday school, for a long, long time. And yet there's so much in there. There was the very promise of God coming down to be with his people. There was an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah, and he prophesied, he predicted, he wrote down that a saviour would come for God's people in an Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call him Emmanuel. And that is, God is with us. God is here now, predicted thousands of years ago, because that's God's heart. That's God's promise. And then in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He's the one we can go to for advice, for wisdom. Mighty God. Wow. He is a mighty God. Everlasting Father. Never fails us. He's always there. I sometimes know I can fail him, but his love never fails. Prince of Peace. Wow. this time of year after 2 years of COVID. How much we need to know that in our hearts and spirits. He is the Prince of Peace. He doesn't come making any wonderful statements about who he is. He just is the Prince of Peace. Whew. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. What promises these are. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. That's what God's into. Justice, doing the right thing, being fair, loving, caring for one another. And from that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God's zeal, God's passion for his people. I can't even imagine it. That zeal that would let Jesus die on the cross, as we sang about, because he knew that actually Jesus dying on the cross could restore our relationship. And it's like, wow. Such zeal, such passion that he would let that happen. And then some 2,000 years ago, God stepped into the world. Savior of the world, here he comes. As a baby. Slightly shook the people at the time. So God stepped into the world as a baby, conceived by his Holy Spirit, born in a stable. And that demonstrated his love for us to restore that relationship. God showed, he demonstrated what he'd been telling them throughout the Old Testament. I am with you. God is here. Amen. So Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us. And you know what? He is the best Christmas gift ever. Just thinking the other day, oh, what are you going to get people for Christmas? Wow. God's done it. The best present of all was his son that was born in a manger, in a stable, all those years ago. The best present of all. And his name was given by God to Mary, Jesus, which means deliverer, to rescue. And that was God's promise to his people, to set them free. So Jesus walked on the earth fully as a man, but he was walking without sin in the power of the Spirit. That's God's real purpose for us, to be like Christ, Christ-minded, to walk without sin in the power of the Spirit. Wow. And he made sure that could happen. He demonstrated God's kingdom of truth, principles of peace, love and joy, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo, woo, woo. Sometimes we sort of, yeah, peace and joy, that's what we need. Let's go for the joy. Righteousness and peace, yeah, let's go even further. Let's go for joy this Christmas. Whether we can be with relatives or not, we have our Father with us, we have each other. We have the Holy Spirit. Joy. Wow. That's God's promises. And Jesus came to point people to God, his Father. He spoke with many different people from all walks of life, fishermen, tax collectors, scholars. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And he helped people to change, to lead the life God intended and having that relationship. Not a lot then, really. Yes, it was. He wasn't actually doing that for that long, but the stories, what's come down, it's like, wow. I've spent some time recently in the Gospels. It's like, wow. He just sort of, it was just him. I want it to be just me. Just want to be able to do that, to see the sick healed, to see miracles, to see breakthroughs. And do you know what? We can, because of God. Because of what he's done. Amen. We can call God our Father. Abba is the word. Daddy. A God who is now here. A Father who is present. Not a Father that's absent, that's sort of going off and doing all sorts of things and cares less about his children. He's an ever-present Father. Ever-present in times of trouble.
And he got rid of everything that gets in the way, the sin, the things that take us away, where we fail, judgment, and he showed love. And people responded then, as they do now, in different ways. They didn't generally tend to sit on the fence. Some were amazed, astonished, joyous. When you read the stories, they just go off and they say, wow, do you know what Jesus has done? It's a miracle. Jesus fed 5,000. Wow, I only gave him 2 loaves and a few fish. Look what happened. Wow, Jesus walked on water. Can you imagine it? What would we do if Jesus came here today and that started happening? Wow, what a Christmas present, eh? Woo! Wow, amazing. Okay. So the presence of God led people to repentance. They asked God for forgiveness, for ignoring him, for acting as if he wasn't there. And you know, he gives that comfort today, that change of life, that knowledge that actually he is there for us. But then on the other side of the fence, there were people that witnessed the miracles. But the fact that he knew everything, that was a little unnerving for some people. They knew the Lord, they knew the law, but they didn't know the heart of God, and they were determined to get rid of him. He threatened their status quo. He didn't come as they'd expected. Jesus, Bethlehem? No, this isn't a great saviour on a big white charger with a battle. He hasn't got a great big army. Yes, he has. It's the heavenly host. You can't see it. But they didn't see what they expected. And he threatened their thinking, their mindsets. They were afraid. They were afraid they were going to lose control of what they had. And I know, before I was a Christian, it was like, oh, I know what I'm going to have to do. I don't think I want to be doing that as a Christian. No, no, it's just far easier to think God doesn't exist. God did have other plans for my life and for yours. But it's like, oh, I'm not sure about this. Because we put up human barriers. We put barriers in our thinking. And do you know what? That is more of being imprisoned to our thoughts than anything else. We sang earlier, God brings freedom. He releases those chains of condemnation. He releases the thinking. He releases your anxiety. Come to me. Know that peace. Know that love. Have your thinking changed. Have a new life. Because you can be with me in eternity, beginning to the end. Alpha and Omega, and he stepped down, and he's here now to change us, to love us, to put his arm around us. Wow, cuddle with God. Ooh, come and have a cutch. And that's not in my notes, but if we could put that on the screen, amazing. Come and have a cutch. I think that's basically what God's saying today. Come and have a little cutch. So a lot of Jews at the time struggled. And even today, people struggle with the concept of Jesus, the awaited Messiah, a child born in a stable, sleeping in a manger, swaddled with vulnerability. Dear me, what was God doing? They knew the law, but not the Lord's heart. Yet it was God's plan. That was what he intended all the time, that the infinite King of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth, would come and bring peace to earth, peace to reunite his creation, his children, with his Father. That's what we're sent to do, to let people know that they can be reunited with God because Jesus died. Because God loved us. And sometimes we make it so complicated, and yet at this time of the year, there are so many opportunities to just say, do you know what? I know it's confusing. I know it might be times of anxiety. It's times of stress. You might be feeling isolated, but you know God loves you. You might have a friend of work, a relative. That's all you've got to say. And it's like, oh. I used to have a friend, and I was the only person that gave her a hug. And it's like, wow. Have a cutch from God. I think I might be renaming this. Have a cutch.
have a hug from God.
Amen.
You're all very quiet. I'm not too far off. Okay. So where do you stand with that hashtag? Do you stand in awe in that peace that Jesus brought, or the cynicism of the priests? Are you a case of God is now here, or is it a case of God is nowhere? I have no hope. I can't see how this is going to change. And God wants some people to change your mindsets, change your thinking. And the ultimate clincher to the whole story. I mean, this would make a really great book. Oh, it has. It's called the Bible, isn't it? And the thing is that Jesus died on the cross. A guy without any sin, a guy that could go out and heal people, do miracles, the very Son of God was allowed to die on a cross. He was nailed to it for me, for you. If you're online, for you. Why? Why did that have to happen? Because God wanted to give us a hug. God wanted to show us his love, his care, that he was going to allow Jesus, his son, to die on a cross for me. I was never told that until I went to a meeting a bit like this, church meeting. If you're online, hope you're getting the message. Hope God is talking to you through the Spirit. It's just amazing. You look at the galaxies, you look at the world and you think, wow, God made that. And yet God loves me. He loves you. Cool. So the ultimate clincher, Jesus took on our sin and set us free from that condemnation, from that feeling that we cannot approach God, that God is not bothered about us because of the fact we've ignored him for a while. In fact, we've never really spoken to him. He's there. He's waiting for a conversation. The clincher. Jesus died on the cross for me, for you, and for all of you online, for the world. God so loved the world. And it's through that acceptance that Christ died on the cross that I have forgiveness for my sins, that my relationship with God is restored. I seriously used to think he was a headmaster that would be ready to tell me off. But I couldn't approach him. Where did that come from? That was just condemnation. God brings a conviction, something in your heart that makes you think, yes, I want to change this. I need to change that. Not a condemnation. Hasn't got a big whip, big headmaster stick like they used to have, not allowed now. But sometimes that's God's people's perceptions. He came to bring peace, to ensure there was goodwill to all man. And you know what? It offers us hope. I have to say, I don't know where I would be in the middle of COVID pandemic if I didn't have God. If I didn't have hope, I don't know where I would be. And if there's anybody here today or anybody listening, God is my only hope. He's the only one that makes me sort of get through it, that I can say, yes, I know, because of God's promises in the Bible, God's promises forever, that he will look after us, that he is our help in times of trouble. A new peace, a new hope, a new comfort. Amen. So, where do we put the spacing? God is nowhere. God is now here. God is nowhere. Just making you think. There is a biblical word called sila, and it just means to pause, to take a little time. It's usually found in the Psalms. And some versions don't have it in unless it's in a little footnote in the bottom. And you have to sort of go to the footnotes, have to hold my hands up. I don't always go to the footnotes. I sort of go for the meat, but sometimes we might miss it. It's in the Psalms, so many. Selah. And what it actually means is to pause. I think some of us have had to pause over the last few years, reevaluate our priorities. And the reason for a pause was to give space for the Holy Spirit to enlarge our vision and knowledge of God. Wow! God will use COVID. He didn't send it, but he will use it. He will put us into a pause position where we might have to reevaluate. Where do I stand? God is now here, or God is nowhere. Challenges your thinking. And it allows the Holy Spirit to enlarge our vision and knowledge of God, to allow the truth to soak into our spirit and soul. So when you're reading the Bible, when you're listening to a song, when you're worshiping, just allow that space to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our soul. And I found a gorgeous version of Psalm 46 that just about covers everything from the worship this morning, about bringing peace, reducing anxiety, because, you know, God is now here. Whatever you might think, I know God is now here. And Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in times of trouble. Ooh. We need not fear if the world blows up. There have been a couple of volcanoes recently, actually. And the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble. He made it all. Selah. Rest. Do not fear. Maybe I shouldn't rest. Maybe I should. It then goes on in verse 4. There is a river of joy. It's coming. There is a river of joy flowing through the city of our God, the sacred home of the God above all gods. God himself is living in that city. He offers us new life and new hope. Therefore, it stands unmoved. Our God is unmoved amongst all this that's going on, other than by love and wanting to help us. Despite the turmoil everywhere, he will not delay his help. The nations rant and rave in anger, but when God speaks, the earth melts in submission. Do we? Kingdoms totter into ruin. The commander of the armies of heaven is here. God is now here among us. He, the God of Jacob, has come to rescue us. Selah, just let that sink in. Wow, what does a little rest between passages do? It lets the Holy Spirit, our vision and knowledge of God, soak into our minds, into our beings. Come, see the glorious things that our God does, how he brings ruin upon the world and causes wars to end. We need so many of these wars to end. Syria, Russia's just starting to bubble up again. God, we need your peace, not just in our hearts, but in situations. He will break and burn every weapon. Stand silent. Some versions, it says, be still. Just know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation in the world. The commander of the heavenly armies is here. God is here now. Whatever way you read that hashtag, that's certainly what I believe, and many of you here and online. The God of Jacob has come to rescue us. Wow. Just pause. The God of Jacob has come to rescue us. He's come to rescue you. Just sit in that knowledge. Be still. Woo. God is so good. So this Christmas, as you prepare your homes for the Christmas season, I hope you'll find time to also prepare your hearts to pause, to give space, to be still, and to find that peace from God that he promised, a peace that transcends all understanding and gives us hope for the future, for the world, for his creation. There's a song I want to play now, and I just think it's just such a wonderful song to finish on. And as I was preparing this, there's a few people, and some of it actually has been covered. If you're feeling stressed and anxious, David shared that this morning. God will listen. If any of you want your relationship with God to be restored or even started, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. And if that's you, or if that's you online, perhaps you can ping us a message. So if you could just close your eyes. If you already know God, then just pause on his wonderful. And if you're here today and you're really not sure, if you could just perhaps put your hand up, or I'll just give you a minute to think about that. Rest. Amen. If you're online and you've just sort of thought about that for the first time, and your thinking has shifted from God is nowhere to God is now here, ping us a message, because that's God's heart for you. If you need more peace, and I put down here people who are anxious and afraid, God's here for you. God is here. So I'm going to leave it there. There's a song that's going to come on with some wonderful words. God is here. The miracles for healing, for peace, for change, for transformation. And most of all, he's here for you. Whether you're online or here today, God is here too. Amen.